Okay.
So we are going through First Peter. And so if you are just trying to think of a book to read, a book of the Bible to read during the week and can't think of one, I'd suggest going through First Peter 2. It's like 5 chapters long. So you could do... you can kind of read through it however you want to. If you want to read a chapter a day, fine. If you want to do less, read a smaller piece and think about it more. That's a good way to do it as well. But I would definitely suggest, you know, spend some time every day reading the Bible and praying. And just try to develop more of a relationship with God. I guess the big idea that we're kind of focusing on as we're going through 1 Peter this time is how the gospel changes us. And the reason we're kind of looking at that is because as you go through, like if let's say you're just going to read through 1 Peter, what you would see is he goes back and forth between talking about, let me back up for a second. It's full of instructions to the Christians. Basically, it was a letter to these different churches, and they're supposed to read it and then basically do what it says. But basically, it was a lot of instructions of how to live like a Christian. And
I'm gonna close the door. Do you guys want to open or close? It's distracting. Let's leave it.
Okay. And so it's full of a lot of instruction. You know, just how to live like a Christian, but like. Intermixed with the instruction is always examples of the gospel, or he talks about the gospel. It's kind of this idea of here's the gospel, and here's who we are, and like our identity in Christ, and that is why we live the way we do, and that's the reason that we have for following the instructions, because we are a child of God. So that's why we're looking at how the gospel changes everything about us. And so tying that back to reading the Bible, the more time we spend looking at the gospel and really letting it kind of soak in, the more it will become part of us, and the more we will change and become like Christ. So that's my encouragement to read the Bible. And I think it's always a good idea. But anyway, okay. So the question we're going to look at today is, how does the gospel shape my interaction with the authorities in my life? So basically, we're going to kind of, the question is, you know, what are the authorities in my life, and how does the gospel say I should respond to those? Okay, so I'm going to start reading, just read through the section that we're going to be going through. It is chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. And it says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as his supreme authority, or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king." So that's the section we're going to look at today. And we're going to go through it a little bit slower through the rest of the time. So to begin with the first two verses, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." So here's the idea, basically, that it doesn't really matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter who you are. There's always somebody who has kind of authority above you. Would you guys agree with that? Okay. And there's kind of authority just in everything. So let's look at like a company. Okay. So you have the owner, and you would think, okay, he's got the most authority in that company. And then you have managers. And they kind of, you know, there's several managers and they manage different areas. And then under the managers, there's like team leads, or there's people who lead like smaller groups under the managers. And so it's like as you go down the levels, there's different levels of authority, but there's always somebody above that. And then, you know, you have me, I'm the little employee at the bottom, and I've answered all these people, for example. But I think about your situation. Where are you at? What are the authority figures in your life? So if I was going to go through mine, it would be probably like law enforcement. So let's say police, my parents, God, to an extent, you know, like just like the rules, which I guess would kind of go back to law enforcement, but it'd be like the governors, everything, basically the ones you just mentioned, you know, the king, in this case, it'd be like a president, but it, you know, the governors and mayor and different people like that. And then employers, my boss. And when I go to school, it'd be the my professors. They all have some type of authority over me. And even right now, we're here, but we kind of have authority, like we're in this building, but the people who own the building and like the people who are in charge of like taking care of the building, they kind of have authority over all of us right now, because you know they have rules like you can't take food into the gym, and if we respect that, we're respecting their authority, and if we don't do that, then you know there's that sense of authority there, and it applies to everything right now. I mean, I can't really like drill a hole in the floor, at least I shouldn't, because of their authority. So you guys get the point. There's authority everywhere. So think about, I guess, what are the different types of authority that you're responsible to right now? What tends to happen is it tends to be annoying, these types of authority over us. Because bottom line, we don't really like to be told what to do. At least that's my opinion. I mean, nobody really wants to be told what they have to do. They'd rather make up their own stuff to do. And so we usually rebel against authority, either like very like directly, like let's say my boss says, go do this, and I say, no, you go do that. That would be a direct, you know, rebellion against that. Or it could be sneaky about it. He could say, hey, I need you to go take care of this stuff. I'm like, okay, and I pretend I go do it, but I don't. And that'd be kind of a sneaky way. And we all probably have our tendencies of different ways that we tend to rebel against authority, but we all kind of do that some way or another. So that's kind of how everything tends to be, is there's authority and we tend to not really like it and we tend to try to go against it. But when we look at this, what we see is that there can be a difference in that. There can be actually submitting to it and a different view of it. But I think first we have to look at like what authority is and why we react to that. And for starters, I think it all boils down to basically an easy way to sum it up would be we all want to be our own God, and we all want to be in charge of what we do. So there's a couple of verses I want to look at, a couple of sections, one in Ezekiel, one in Isaiah, and one in Genesis. And they kind of talk about how they're little examples of people who wanted to be their own God. So first Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 14, or it might be 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 11 through 19. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. Okay, hang on a second. So Ezekiel was a prophet of God. He and the book of Ezekiel is what he said. And so this is, God basically would tell him to go speak to different people and tell them different things. So this is one of the things he said. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, you were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in all your ways, formed or from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you, and it reduced you to ashes on the ground. In the sight of all who were watching, all the nations who knew you, are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. That makes sense. Okay. In case it didn't. It probably did, but just kind of summarize a little bit. So God told his prophet to go tell this king. And he's basically telling him what had happened, explain what happened. So he's saying, God made you, he set you, you know, set you in this king, he made you powerful, and you let your power kind of go to your head. And you had wisdom, but it kind of, you got too full of yourself, basically. And as a result of that, God humbled him. And that's kind of what we do. We always tend to be getting pretty full of ourselves, and we kind of view ourselves as the most important thing in our little world. So another example, Isaiah chapter 14. Again, Isaiah was another a prophet of God way back in the day, and you know, just doing the prophet thing, telling people what God was saying. So this is verse 12 through 17, a little bit shorter section. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly. On the utmost heights of the sacred mountain, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a desert, who overthrew its cities and would not let his captives go home?" So again, kind of a similar situation. Talking about someone who is very powerful, like a kingdom who is very powerful. And they let the power go to their head. And they wanted to be all powerful, and they said, you know, the kingdom thought they would make their throne in the heavens almost, you know, and just be the top of the world. Instead, God said, "No, you aren't your God. You're just a human. You're just a kingdom that I put in place." And he humbled them as a result of that. Okay, one more spot. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Okay, so this is when, in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came to tempt Eve, he said, "For God knows that you will, that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So like back at the very beginning, you know, the world was perfect in the garden. Everything was good. And the serpent came and tempted Eve. And what he tempted her with there was being like God. And so it's like, even back at the very beginning, that was our goal, was to be our own God and to be like God. And we would know good and evil, and we would be in charge. And so anyway, the whole point of those two verses is to show that even at the beginning and then throughout time, that's a human being's tendency, is to want to be your own God. So our tendency is to want to do what we want to do, usually to get what we want. If there are times when we want to decide what we want to do, you know, to make our life easier, to have like a better outcome, and if it happens to coincide with like what authority would say to do, that's just kind of a coincidence. It's not really that we're usually trying to follow authority. It's just that we want to choose what we want to do. The flip side is, to follow God means to make Him your God, and that's really just kind of the whole. That's like the big shift. Is like the difference between following God or not. Like the big thing is changing from wanting to be our God to saying, telling God that he will be our God. So if we go back to 1 Peter 3, or 2, I'm sorry. We were reading. On the first verse, it says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. So beginning, he's saying, submit yourself to the authorities. But when he says it in there, he says, for the Lord's sake. So in there is kind of built in this idea that we have already, that if we're going to submit to the authorities in the world, that we have already submitted to God's authority. And I think that's really key. That's kind of, I don't know. I think that's just the really big difficulty in life is we want to be our God, and what God calls us to is to, for him to be our God and for him to be the deciding factor in our life. Anyway, so I don't know if I can really say it any differently, but if to begin with, if what God calls us to, like on a big scale, is making him our God instead of making ourselves our God, we might do that and then say, we might kind of think that it's not really connected with making choosing to follow God isn't really connected with following other authorities in our life, like let's say the police, or let's say people at teachers at school or parents. You say, I would never disrespect God, but I'm not going to obey these other things. The result is that's still trying to be, when we do that, we're still just trying to be the God of our little world. And so we end up disrespecting God because that's how it works. And so basically, if we are submitting to human authority, in essence, we are ultimately submitting to God. And I will agree, the sound of that doesn't sound very fun, doesn't sound very appetizing, and because of what we already talked about, I guess, so I won't go back over that. But anyway. So we're going to go to verse 15. It says, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. So it says it's God's will that we should let me back up for a second. He says it's God's will that first God's will that by doing good you should silence the foolish talk of ignorant men. Basically the idea that if we are living in like a really obedient way in life and we aren't being disrespectful or rebellious in life, other people can't really point at us and say, ha, look what you're doing. Because we're doing what we should be doing, right? And so it kind of silences other people's like accusations against us. And the result is it makes God look good. But what it says there is that it's God's will that we should do that. So it is God's will that we should submit to the authorities. Then going on in verse 16, it says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover for evil. Live as servants of God. So it's like in our minds, we should know that ultimately we aren't really accountable to the authorities, to the human authorities in our life. Ultimately, we're accountable to God. And so it kind of gives us like a freedom in our life, because we know that we aren't really tied to the rules of this world. But then it says, don't use, we know that ultimately the only person that really matters who we measure up to is God. Doesn't really matter what the other authorities think of us, it's what God thinks of us. But then it says, but do not use your freedom as a cover for evil. So even though I know, okay, ultimately it's what God thinks of me that matters, it doesn't mean I can't use that as a reason to say, therefore I'm not going to obey what the speed limit is or what the rules of the land are, because because that's using my freedom before God as like an excuse to do wrong. And then verse 17, it says, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. So it's kind of saying like there's a proper way to view like different places, like different like parts of our life and different people in our life. So to the brotherhood of believers, so God's church, his family, he says to love them. And he says, fear God. So it's like God, we should have him as like the utmost authority in our life. And we should have like a fear and a love for him that is like, we should have like a maximum view of him. And then it says, honor the king. So we shouldn't fear the king. We shouldn't fear the authorities in our life, like the human authorities in our life, but we should honor them and we should respect them. Okay, moving on. And I touched on this a second ago, but the thing is, if we don't do that, when we do rebel against the people in life that in our life that have authority in our life, it actually makes God look bad. So if we go up to a verse you read last week, verse 12, it says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And then in verse 15, where we read a minute ago, it says, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the foolish talk of ignorant men. I'm sorry, the ignorant talk of foolish men. And if we don't do that, it's actually, the result is that we kind of actually make God look bad. Because we say, yes, I'm a Christian, but I live a life that is that's rebellious, and it's okay. Think about this. So, you know, like a little child like throws a tantrum or something, and it gets kind of crazy and yells and screams and stuff. How does that make you think? What kind of impression does that give you of the parent? Exactly. So, if we're doing that, if we're like the little child who is throwing a tantrum and yelling and being crazy and stuff, and disobeying the authorities in our life, we're like that little child, and we make God look bad in the same way a little child would make the parents look bad. Yes. So, and like on the flip side of that is that when we do submit to authority in our life, that actually makes God look good, and he makes him, and that's basically what that's what it means to glorify God, is to make him look really great. And so when we are living a life that other people can look at and say, wow, that looks really good, why are you doing that? It's because of God. It makes God look good. And and that's the goal. So anyway. But along with that comes, sometimes we think that like we'll submit if we think it's a good, if there's a good reason to submit. Like let's say there's some rule and you think it's a dumb rule, which there are a lot of rules that sometimes tend to be dumb. But regardless, so a lot of times our tendency is to think I'll submit, I will obey somebody that's in my life if I feel like they deserve to be respected, or I respect them if they deserve that, or if they, or if what they're saying makes sense, I think it's the right thing to do. And so like we decide whether or not it's worth obeying or worth respecting. But if we go back to, the reason that doesn't really work then is because, again, we're kind of making ourselves the God, and we're saying, I'll obey if I think it's a good enough rule, or it's kind of turns the focus back to ourselves. And that's our normal tendency, is to say, I'm in charge, I'm going to decide if it's worth my time to obey or respect somebody. But if we go back and look at like 13 or first 13 and 14, it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Whether to the king as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. And above those is the idea that God has put those in place. He has put them there. If you go back to Romans chapter 13, verse 1, I'm going to read a verse back there real quick. says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So if we are in our mind like trying to justify whether we should obey somebody or not, or respect somebody or not, well, that's not really necessary because God has put all those authorities in place. And if he has put them there, then they're worthy to be respected, I guess, because God has put them there. So that's kind of what we should do. So we should submit to authorities. We should do that. And the reason we should do it is so that God is glorified. Because ultimately we aren't here to live for ourselves, to be our own master, but to submit to God. And this is just one of the ways that we do that, that we make God the God that he is. And we show him to be the God that he is. So even if we say, okay, yes, I get this, this makes sense, this is what I'm going to do. The reality is, tomorrow when we go about our life, and the next day when we go about our life, and we encounter these, you know, the different types of authority in our life, the people that we should be respectful to, that sometimes we find annoying, that we don't really want to, it's going to be hard to do that. Even if we get to the point where we say, yes, this is right, I should obey all these people, I should respect all these, you know, figures of authority. Even then, it's hard to actually do it. And I would argue that it's probably impossible. That nobody here on your own is going to say, ah, yes, I see, it is brilliant, I'll do that now. And we'll all go out and change instantly. Just of our own logic, we'll say, okay, this is the way we should do it, and I'll do that. We're going to fail. But so I guess on our own, I think we'll fail. If we just look at it and say, oh, this is a really good idea, this is a really good way to live, I'll do that. We can't do it perfectly. But there was somebody who did. And it was Jesus. So thinking about how he, when he was alive, he submitted to the Jewish authorities. As at the time, the Jews, there were, you know, the rulers of the Jews, and they had a lot of power. And he submitted to them. When they arrested him and they, you know, brought him, like right before he died, when they arrested him and they mistreated him and they beat him, he didn't rebel at all. And these were bad people. I mean, they were treating him very badly. And then the Roman government, the Jews handed him over to the Roman government to be crucified, to be killed. And the only reason he was killed was because in the situation what was happening was for political reasons. So he was treated completely unfairly. He was only killed because, like, well, it's because it was God's plan, but in the way it actually happened was because it was a political move for the Jews. And then he was also submitting to God in heaven, his Father. And that was a really, really hard thing to do. He knew. And it was kind of like in a different situation than any of us will be in, because he had the authority and like the ability to say, God, I don't want to do this, and it would have been fine. But he didn't. He submitted just because he loved us. And when we look at his example, I think that's the only... When we look at his example and the reason he lived the way he did, I think that's the only way we are then able to live the same way. Is if we look at him and say, this is what Jesus did, and his power is now inside of us, inside and living inside of us, then we can live the way he did. So, if you have made a decision to follow Christ and you are a child of God, where is the authority in your life that you are not respecting? It's probably going to be different for each of you, and you probably already know what it is. So my challenge to you would be, live like Jesus did. He submitted to authorities that treated him badly, treated him unfairly, and it was extremely hard. But he did it, and he pushed through, and you get to glorify God. And that's ultimately why each of us are here, I think, is to glorify God. If you hadn't made a decision to follow Christ yet, I think the thing God's calling you to submit to is Him. To make a decision to follow Him and repent and be baptized. And through that, you'll be submitting to the ultimate King. So, that's about it. The result is, if we do that, when we live like that, then we truly are letting God be God and letting Him be the God of our life instead of trying to be our own. So, that's about it. I'll pray, and we can go back in and take communion and remember Jesus and the fact that He did die for us and submit to that authority. So, dear Lord, thank You for today, for tonight, letting us be here. Thank You for speaking to us. I pray that You would take the words from the Bible and change our hearts with those, and let them penetrate us, and let us become followers of You that truly do glorify You. And so, in Your name we pray. Amen.